Well, hello, everybody. Paul von Gertz here from the Knife River Heritage and Cultural Center. Once a month, I come and deliver the news to you folks the way I see it, as well as the Knife River Heritage and Cultural Center. A little bit of news from Knife River and also history, of course. We come to you. You can catch us twice a month. We air the second Friday of every month on 99.5 KTWH. And if you miss it at that time, you can catch it the following Sunday at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So with no more to do, let's get into our news from Knife River. First thing I want to do is to remind everybody that November 11th is Veterans Day. That's a week from this coming Thursday, although this is being broadcast at a later date. But let's hope that you remember the Veterans Day. And this year is kind of special to us at Knife River because it's the first time people can visit our Veterans Memorial at the Knife River Heritage and Cultural Center. This is a memorial that was, the message was developed between the Heritage Center and the American Legion Post at Two Harbors, Post 109. And it addresses the veterans of Lake County and also a special message about the veterans from Knife River, who served in the Merchant Marine, both as officers and crew on Liberty ships. Tough job during World War II. There's a heavy loss of life with the Merchant Marine. What was taking place with the German U-boats off the coasts of the East Coast and also down in the Gulf of Mexico. You get torpedoed, you were kind of out of luck. So we want to mention in our memorial the men from Knife River who served in the Merchant Marine, of which there were several. Also, too, the memorial recognizes the boat building that took place in Larsmont during World War II. Men of Norwegian descent were building wood boats that were used as both minesweepers and escort vessels for convoys crossing the North Atlantic during World War II. Anyway, the memorial is a beautiful piece of black granite, cost about $5,000. I encourage you to go visit the memorial on Veterans Day this year or coming years and approach it with reverence and respect for the men and women who served our country. Okay, with that, I want to go into, speaking of history, how the depot and the freight building at the Knife River Heritage and Cultural Center came into being. It's an interesting story, and we have completed the restoration of both the depot and the freight building. And so how did that all come together? Well, I'll tell you here in the next about 15 minutes here. First thing, we need to remind ourselves that history is being made every day. And so I'm recording here how the depot and the freight house were saved and restored and how the whole center history center concept came together. All our newsletters are being archived for future generations to read. And so I'm asking you to listen carefully here to what I have to say, as this is history being made. And with that, let's start. How it was done. 30 months from a near teardown depot to what you will see today, which is a totally restored depot that looks pretty much like it did back in 1900. But before we get into the story of the restoration, we need to thank Randy Ellisted, owner of the Jason Knife River Campground, for saving the depot and freight house from being bulldozed. Randy became owner of the depot when he bought the campground in 2003. The depot had always been sold with the campground, although the land under it was owned by the DMNIR and later the St. Louis and Lake County Regional Railroad Authority. For 16 years, the RRA and Randy tried to find a way to make the depot a viable enterprise. Well, just as the situation began to look hopeless, Knife River was gifted the Fish Tug Crusader from the Lake County Historical Society. They had been stewards of the boat with a long history to Knife River for about 34 years when they realized their plans to restore and display it at Lighthouse Point in Two Harbors would probably never materialize. Then it became the idea of Randy and Larry Ronning, who had done a lot of restoration and maintenance work on Crusader, both paid and unpaid over the years, to make the depot and Crusader the centerpieces of a heritage center at the depot site. Randy agreed to sell the depot to the Knife River community for a dollar. Since then, he has worked with our Heritage Center historian, Todd Lindahl, who many of you know, to research and write a thorough history of the depot. Well, the center for the idea for a center featuring the depot and the Crusader was bounced off the community over three meetings held during the winter of 2018. Well, with a vote of confidence in the idea, the Heritage Center applied for nonprofit status the following summer, and in November of 2018, it received a coveted IRS 501c3 nonprofit certification. And believe me, the IRS does not just hand these out. Well, the Knife River Rec Council then provided the launch pad. Here's how. By January of 2019, we were putting our funding plan together. A party from Knife River learned about it and offered a $20,000 challenge to the community to match it. The center took the challenge to the Rec Council, as after several Yulabians, they had the local funds to match it. And match it they did. Suddenly, we had $40,000 to buy materials and to use as match money for grants that required anywhere from a 20 to 100% match. Now I want to talk to you a little bit about a three-legged stool. The challenge to restore the depot and freight building was daunting. Over the course of a 30-month restoration, it became clear it was accomplished by a three-legged stool comprised of Larry Ronning, Dave Grong, and Todd Lindahl. If one of these individuals, or legs, was not committed to the project, we for sure would not be where we are today. Larry was a recently retired general contractor with a specialty in restoring old buildings, well, and boats, too. He was also born and raised in Knife River and had many memories of riding the train from the depot to Two Harbors. Larry and his volunteers did an amazing job in racking the depot back into a square shape with plumb walls, raising the building and pouring a concrete slab floor under it, applying a steel roof, making period-correct windows, applying siding, and putting the depot agent's so-called bump-out back to where it was in 1896. The bump-out is kind of like a bay window that allowed the depot agent to look, gave the depot agent clear sight lines down the track, both left and right. Well, during the first year of reconstruction, Larry gave us full use of his construction trailer, packed with every tool we needed. His Kubota backhoe loader was invaluable for the excavating necessary to pour the depot slab. Once all that was accomplished, Larry asked to step back and leave the interior work to those of us who consider ourselves accomplished DIYers, do-it-yourselfers, but agreed to oversee all we did, including restoration of collection items. At this point, the second leg of the stool appeared, and that was Dave Grong, originally from Marshall, Minnesota, but now retired with Linda and pretty much a full-time resident in Knife River. Okay, Dave has an engineering background and a skilled wood hobbyist who took over both leading and doing the actual carpentry to complete the depot interior and freight house exterior. He worked with Larry to form and pour more than 26 yards of concrete for the depot apron and footings for the flagpole and Veterans Memorial. Dave also helped with the restoration of the express wagon and the order board pole. Busy man. On to the next page here. All thumbs suddenly. Dave spent at least one morning a week during the building season at the depot site since spring of 2020. During the winter, he built depot interior components. Well, the third leg to appear was Todd Lindahl, our historian. Many of you know Todd from Two Harbors. Todd had the vision of how the depot and freight house should look once restored. He was able to tell us exactly how every detail of building should appear, where it should go, material to use, color paint, being true to how our depot and similar depots looked in 1900. Well, as a reader of this newsletter, you have read how I praise Todd for his finds that complete the historical items found in a 1900s depot. To name a few, order board pole, order board levers, ticket counter cages, express wagon, period clock, period phone, period signage inside and out, coal stove, caboose stove, scales, milk can, spittoons, and ticket validator. Todd also wrote the copy for our outdoor interpretive displays and secured all the photos. We have or will have one of the most accurately replicated 1900s depots in the country. That's my opinion, but several others more knowledgeable than I as well. Okay, the three-legged stool relied on the talents of those behind the scenes. Okay, three-legged stool can only rest on a solid foundation, and for that we had many to thank. Our financial footing was assured when Mona Linden, with a career in things financial, agreed to be our chief financial officer and serve on the board as well. Please understand that a nonprofit status is not easy to achieve, and once awarded, the IRS monitors the recipient very judiciously. Knowing that, Mona got the software to set up our record keeping in a format that would provide all the information required on a federal 990, which we have to submit on a yearly basis. Mona also had to secure an alphabet of federal and state regulations, including DUNS, DUNS, EIN, SAMS, TIN, sales tax exemptions required by suppliers, and tax exemption forms of all kinds who made donations. In addition to all that, Mona helped glaze and paint our 9 period correct windows. A nonprofit needs a strong communications program to reach both donors and volunteers, or we're dead in the water without either. Well, the newsletter that I'm reading to you today is very effective in reaching these audiences, as well as many of our stakeholders, who include the Knife River community, certainly, the Knife River Rec Council, Regional Rail Authority, North Shore Scenic Railroad, and the Two Harbors American Legion Post. The newsletter also goes to local government officials and all those foundations and state and federal agencies that can provide financial support. Well, Anna Lou Hovis of Knife River and Larsmont lives right between, produces a newsletter from my ramblings and adds graphic support to create a newsletter that is fun and easy to read. There are more than 300 names on the newsletter email list, and so with pass-along readership, perhaps 500 people are reached by it monthly. So far, no one has asked to have their name removed, so I take that as an endorsement of my writing style and humor. By the way, the newsletter mailing list is not shared with anyone. Well, Bob Ensign has a wealth of experience in university administration and business. He and Cheryl own the Island View Cabins in Knife River. A strong strength of Bob's long-range planning and fundraising, which makes him a valued member of our board. Bob helped identify our 3 phases of work that will create the center and advised on the wise use of grant opportunities. Bob also heads the soon-to-be Knife River Heritage Center Foundation. Dwayne Madison, a local board member, was helpful in capturing the genealogy of several generations of Knife River families, which helped in compiling Knife River's history and any impacts on depot details. Health issues and COVID distancing limited Dwayne's active participation in the restorations, but happiest to see he's in good health once again splitting wood. I'd be remiss if I did not mention Bob Manzalane is a very important behind-the-scenes advocate for the Heritage Center. Bob is executive director of the Regional Rail Authority and reports directly to the Regional Authority Board. Bob was quick to grasp our vision related to his board, comprised of 3 St. Louis County commissioners and 2 from Lake, Commissioners Hurd and Gudermount. Bob attended to all the details of our lease and its provisions, which we considered reasonable. When the question what we should pay to lease the land per year, we suggested $1, and with a straight face. Well, Bob was agreeable to that, as we intended to do something the Rail Authority had wanted to do for years, which is restore that depot. But in hindsight, maybe we should have just suggested 50 cents a year. That's the Norwegian frugality coming out. Bob was a good source of information on funding sources and successfully went to bat for us when funders balked at something called site control because we do not own the property in which our buildings rest. He explained how that worked, and we got a 20-year lease. Most recently, Bob was instrumental in opening new funding doors for the Heritage Center by responding to the Heritage Center's request to convert our 5-year renewable lease to a 20. With the board's approval, that followed, we hope we don't have any more questions on site control. It's great to have a landlord like Bob and the Rail Authority support our vision. Dozens of volunteers. We had at least a couple dozen volunteers over the 30-month build period, and what a great group. I will not list them for fear of forgetting one or more, but suffice to say they're enthusiastic, hardworking, and most important, reliable. On the last pour of concrete of the concrete apron that surrounds the depot, I put out a call for at least 8 people to help pour and smooth the 7 yards of concrete. Well, 11 showed up. Our 4 painters took advantage of every good painting day. We painted a lot of material before it was put in place. Our woodworkers were never delayed waiting for something to be painted that was to be put in place the next day. Knife River volunteers are the best. Volunteers with special skills and experience. Along with Larry Ronning, we had several who volunteered special construction-related deep skills. Randy Ellestad can really whip a bobcat around. Randy did a nice, great job in site prep, and which included moving the freight house 16 feet to the north. No easy task. Okay, Brad Ronning used his electrical experience to do a lot of the prep work for a licensed electrician, which helped reduce our costs, electrical costs. We did our own concrete, with the exception of finishing the slab. Many thanks to the Wrighton brothers from Two Arbors, Scott and Brad, for donating their time to help to give the depot building a slab of first-class finish. Matt Morris from Finland volunteers time to cut a path through the old depot apron so we can run and bury electrical conduit to both the depot and freight house. Lee Bijou from Knife River spent her career in community and economic development. And with a very active marketing mind, she saw an opportunity for fundraising using, quote, the best sweet corn ever. So we sold sweet corn for a fundraiser and made about $2,500. Thank you, Lee. And we would be a total loss on how to safely and cheaply raise our flag and order board poles. Well, a well-placed call to Lake County Co-op Light and Power resulted in a team of skilled professionals who lifted and deftly placed our poles in place. Okay, so I want to point out some other things here because I'm running out of time, I see here. We use some professional services. They are all local. Silver Creek Sign Works, Dick Bohr, Silver Creek Electric, Mate Rosso, Humble Hands Handyman Service at Knife River, Matt DeWard, did our floor tile, did the roofing on our freight house, Osman Trucking and Landscaping, they did site work, they moved the old depot apron. Burton Forge, Dale Burton donated 2 steel ticket counters, LJ Ronning Construction, 11 period correct windows. And so skipping around along here, we have many, many other helpers along the way here. Grants, people think this whole thing was done with grants. It really wasn't. Only about a third of what we did was with grants. Thankfully, every grant we applied to, we resulted in something. So what's next? Now that the depot and the freight building have been restored, well, we're going to look now at funding to build a shed over Crusader and create a commercial fishing exhibit. That's what our goal is for 2022. And with that, I see my time is running short, and so I better just kind of keep moving along here. Thank you for listening, and please listen again next month, of course.